welcome to season four of episode four of season five. If you've just joined, I'm Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the beautiful Maria of Maria the Arcane Everywhere. Hello.
Hello.
Before we get started in this episode, I just want to touch base. I know that we got a bunch of messages because we didn't have a coffee talk last week, and we posted like a quasi-dramatic post about it, that we had a family emergency. I just wanted to say thank you all so much for checking in, the people who did message us. I actually lost my grandma unexpectedly last week, so we chose not to record, so that way I could focus on that. All is well. Everyone is safe. Everyone is fine. Like, she was 92, so it's not like she was a young old gal. Like, obviously, there's a lot of loss and heartbreak there, but we're okay. Everyone's okay. And I just wanted to say thank you all so much for the messages. We are fine.
Which is very good.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to prioritize your family, and that is okay.
Work comes last when it comes to prioritizing your family.
Yes.
Especially during moments like that.
Yes.
But
yes.
We also want to mention that later on this month, we have a Palmistry Basics.
Listen to us, neither one of us can talk.
Look, it's been 2 weeks now. I'm a little rusty. But yeah, we have a Palmistry Basics class with Paula Victoria, which we had on our podcast last time. She was literally our guest and was super amazing that we were like, hey, you want to do a class for us?
Please come teach a class for us.
For us, not for anyone else. Yeah. Just kidding.
It's for us. Yeah, no, it's for us. And also, if you guys would like to be there, that would be great.
Yeah, you guys can be there too. But that's at 2 p.m. EST, and that is on our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, for
on March 31st. On March 31st. And we've also, I haven't posted it yet, but it will be up today. So by the time you are hearing this, it will be on Eventbrite. So if you are not interested in the Patreon, but you very much so would like to take the class, you can just pay for the one-off to watch it on Eventbrite. So we hope to see you there.
And we also want to remind you guys that we do have a voicemail service where you can leave us a voicemail with your like witchy stories, ghost stories, or anything you think the community would like to hear. And you can give us a call at 351-207-0799.
Yes, we have so many already, and I think we're going to do them next time. I'm so excited.
Very excited.
If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those for your magical practice. That being said, the nearest lunar phase to us is going to be on March 10th. It is the new moon in Aries, but it is taking place on a Pisces cusp. So like, if you're somebody who utilizes the moon, I know Maria and I have talked about this a few times, but it might be worthwhile for you to download the moon app. I think this is what it's called. Just called moon, right?
There's so many apps that are called just
There are so many. But you know what? I'm going to link the exact one that Maria and I both use in the caption.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you guys can find it, because it can tell you exactly where you're at. It can tell you exactly what time and zodiac sign it's in. And the percentage,
So
if you are somebody who utilizes the moon, and you, like, the last few episodes we've had these cusps, and so I really encourage you to download that app, and I will link it will be in the bio, etc.
Literally see, like, people are going to be talking about the Pisces new moon way more, even though, like, the Pisces for me ends at like 7 p.m. where I would
for me
Aries.
For me, it literally switches to Aries at 1 a.m. So, like, there is 1 hour of that entire day that I'm not going to be awake for that, mm-hmm. utilizing that time frame. So it's something that I really encourage you guys to download. It will be in, or something similar. I'm going to put it in the caption to help you. But we are going to talk about the new moon in Aries, because that's what applies to both Maria and I. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in the new moon in Pisces, we have talked about it before in previous episodes. Mm-hmm. Give it a little search. That being said, the new moon in Aries, I really like specifically for love magic. And I want to explain why. New moons, as we know, are all for fresh starts, new beginnings, etc., etc. And Aries is such a fiery, passionate, kind of like me, no offense, sign that we are mm-hmm. focusing on kind of putting this fire under our ass. And there's so much passion there. I really like utilizing this moon for doing love magic where it's not about a specific person. Like, so you're not being like, oh, my ex come back to me, but instead being like, I'm ready for a relationship. I'd like to get into one. I'm going to do spell work that is going to allow new love to come into my life. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like really nice. I also think this is a really good new moon to focus on things like confidence spells. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to apply for this new job. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to find new friends. And I need this confidence boost to make sure that I can kind of follow through with it. And I think that's a really good time for this.
Yeah. At first, I thought you were going to say like domination magic and stuff.
No.
Oh, Robin, that type of love. I love spells.
I wrote about domination magic in my book, and I got freaking like dragged through the mud for it because the book is pink and purple, that multiple people assumed it was for children. Which I love the fact that let's not even talk about the misogynistic breakdown of something being pink, so it must be for kids, right?
Yeah.
I digress. And I just find it very, I thought it was very interesting. They were like, why would this children's book have domination magic in it? And I was like, why would you think this is a children's book? It's literally an intermediate tarot book.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. I think we spoke about it before, but just like, come on, guys. Yeah, you're being a parent.
I've had
your
multiple
stuff before you buy stuff. But anyway,
I've had multiple people talk to me lately about talking about misogyny within witchcraft and like mm-hmm. wanting to hear my thoughts about it. And I'm like, am I gonna have to do a whole YouTube video about why I think misogyny is bad?
Yes. The answer is yes. It'll always.
Oh my gosh, there's something in my eye. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the Aries new moon? Sorry, we got sidetracked.
Okay. So I always like to mention that like Aries deals with like emperor energy because it equates to the emperor in tarot. So it's like taking up space for yourself, claiming space, claiming your power sort of thing. And I think that's a great thing to utilize for the new moon. Mm-hmm. Like, where in your life right now do you need to take up more space? Where do you need to be more forthright about your needs and what you want? When you have to be a little bit domineering in order to be heard and understood. I mean, you know, just consider those things and like do a spell with that intention, like putting in a bunch of like fiery herbs, use candle magic, you know, use saffron, use cayenne pepper, anything that gives you a kick in the butt to, you know, step into that emperor energy. But that's what I would do personally.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's nice.
To talk a little bit about tarot. Previous seasons, we've gone over like some individual card meanings, and we've also last season went over like the whole different sections in tarot, like the aces, the major arcana, the minor arcana, the court cards, and all that. So this season, we thought we'd do something a little different. We are going to talk about the themes that we see in tarot, and it just kind of will open us up to like seeing cards in a different light, and I don't know. We thought it would be a little fun to try something new this season. But so this week we thought we would do the theme of needing to touch grass and go outside, which, you know, when it comes to tarot, you don't really think of that. I think, you know, like when you pull a card, you don't really go, oh, maybe I should go outside and go spend some time outside. Instead, you'll like interpret it in like a whole different way. But anyways, so first off, I wanted to speak about the Fool. So for me, like the Fool just goes outside with no expectations. He isn't carrying his phone. He is, you know, he's just free of like responsibilities, free of like expectations of like how his journey should go. And I think that's what we should all do when we go outside with the intent to enjoy nature, like, and being open and aware of what you are doing outside in the first place. If you're like on your phone, or like you're carrying your indoor problems with you outdoors, does that make sense? You know, like work and, you know, being stressed like about work.
It's like when people talk about logging off, mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
like fully, like logging yeah. your brain off, like being like, okay, like mm-hmm. I'm logging off for the day, whether that's your job, the internet, whatever, mm-hmm. and you're done.
Mm-hmm. And depending on what you do outside, I mean, I think the Fool out is very important, because especially if you're going hiking and stuff like that, you just kind of have to roll with like how the trails are during the day that you go outside. So yeah. But and then also my hot take card is the Nine of Pentacles. Okay, now hear me out. I know that's like, you know, a rich woman enjoying like all of her goods that she has developed over time and things like that. But what I see is like, you've been working really hard, you know, you have all these material things, but how much time have you been spending outside and enjoying the right. outside and the abundance like Mother Earth already gives you? You know, just kind of like, I think that we tend to forget, you know, going outside is very, very important. Instead, we just kind of concentrate on our wants and our needs when it comes to material things. And I think this card can invite us to, you know, kind of like step away from that for a little bit and touch grass. And this could be like, you know, spending some time outside cultivating a garden, or even just being like outside of your home, just enjoying the outdoor yeah. space outside of your home. And like remembering, as I said, it's all good to find out material things, but maybe going out in nature to thank the earth for all those things that you have that, you know, came from the earth is a pretty good idea. Okay. And then the final card that I picked is the Nine of Swords. For me, this is the card, like, it's kind of like when we're trapped in the house during winter and you don't really go outside and you're like, oh, why am I so moody? You know, why am I so sad? Why is my anxiety so bad? And it's, you know, it's because you haven't gone outside. You're vitamin D deficient and you need to go outdoors. You need to go breathe in some fresh air. 'Cause
you're actually dying.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I am. But I really do think not going outside enough does tend to affect our moods. And I think it's a great invitation to go outside, get out of the headspace that you've been in for a little bit. So yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? What cards have resonated with you?
So I was going to say some other ones, which Maria and I talked about before, and mm-hmm. I changed it because I decided to be a hot take haver. So the first one is the Five of Cups reversed. When we get this card upright, it's talking about focusing on like one thing while the rest of the world is happening around you. And when we get it in reverse, it's talking about kind of trying to heal and move on from that focus, right? Starting to observe things slowly around you. And the best way to do that is to log off. Mm-hmm. Put your phone down, whether that's because of too much scrolling, or because maybe you work in a job that requires you to check your emails a lot or something like that, log off, go outside, go for a walk, start observing the world around you in like a more positive way and just get some fresh air, right? Mm-hmm. The next one that I picked is the Eight of Cups. This card literally talks about walking away from something that is no longer serving us. Mm-hmm. And it's literally talking about walking. Mm-hmm. And when I say walking, I would like to point out that I don't mean like necessarily the physical act of walking. I know that for some people, you know, their bodies might not be able to go out and like go for a walk. So I do want to like touch base that when I say get outside and go for a walk, it doesn't necessarily mean literally. Mm-hmm. We are talking about things like, you know, wheeling outside for some fresh air, opening up a window and just sitting by it, whatever mm-hmm. that looks like for you, that is just kind of walking away from the stress, the responsibility, and quite frankly technology, is important. And I also think that touching grass can also be things like reading a book, sitting on your couch and reading a book. Do you know what I mean? Where we are just like logging off from the stress of responsibility and also just the weight of like existing. Mm-hmm. being alive is cool.
Sure.
And the final card that I picked for this is the Sun. The Sun as a card is very much so literal, right? We're mm-hmm. talking about getting vitamin D. We're talking about being outside, et cetera, et cetera. But on like a primary level, it's also choosing ourselves. And part of choosing yourself is creating boundaries between like things that cause you stress and knowing when to say, hey, I maybe can't walk away from this all of the time, but I can right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important boundary and just general human lesson to learn, you know, mm-hmm. that sure, I can't cut my job out. Mm-hmm. I need money to be alive because we live in a capitalist world. Mm-hmm. But we can say, you know what, it's a Saturday, I'm not at the office, I'm not going to mm-hmm. think about work. Instead, I'm going to go pick flowers, read a book, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Making ourselves the primary focus. And I think that that's, I don't know, a difficult but important lesson to learn for like all human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I really like the Sun too for that. For going outside, because I think going outside also ignites like our inner child and the spirit of which, you know, is represented in the Sun card. So yeah.
And like when we think about it too, like who has the least burdens in the world? The average child. Right now, obviously there's kids out there that are struggling and mm-hmm. they're in bad situations, and I'm not trying to glaze over that, but mm-hmm. as a general rule of thumb, when we think of children, they have this amazing light naivety. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got a speech impediment. We're gonna move past it.
Can't relate. I speak perfectly. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, goodness. And so because of that, there's just this real lightness that comes with that card, and something that I think that a lot of us forget and get bogged down with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, like kid on vacation, whose parents planned everything.
Vibing.
They just gotta be there. They just gotta be there.
Summer vacation. Like, could... first of all, my two-year-old refuses a nap sometimes, and I'm like, buddy, if I had the time and the availability to just take a nap, I would. Soak them in.
One day this will end.
And you'll look back and feel like a fool. So as you guys have probably noticed, if you follow us on social media, we're trying to stick with themes, monthly themes. The tarot challenge and the segment that we don't have a guest, it's following themes. So this month's theme is luck.
Who knew?
Who would have guessed? It's manifesting luck. It's talking about luck. bad luck breaking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And Maria and I thought we would talk about our tips, our ideas, et cetera, on luck magic.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to all y'all.
That does make sense.
So that being said, Maria, what is your opinion on luck magic? What do you think about it?
I love luck magic. I think it's one of like the oldest forms of magic, you know, because everything that we used to do was for luck. Luck with our crops, luck with, you know, health-wise and all that, you know. A lot of, you know, the world used to be very hard and we used to have, you know, it was very hard to get by. So you would need that little bit of luck to help get you by.
Yeah.
So I really do think it is a very valid form of magic to practice. But I do want to say that, like wish magic, I wasn't trying to say witch, like Robin is the thing, but wish magic, it can be very fickle. It can be very fickle.
It really can.
I think it depends. There's so many things that it depends on that I will go over later in the other segments for this. But I think going into it, knowing that it can be fickle and that it won't always go the way that you planned it would, like leaving that openness will help you in the long run. And I do want to say that also luck magic is not a replacement for like shadow work. I think a lot of people think that it is a replacement for shadow work, being like, oh, I don't have to better myself or my, you know, circumstances that I have brought upon myself. Let's just do luck magic instead. Let's switch my luck, even though I'm the problem. The Robin's the problem.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
How about you? What are your general opinions about it?
I love luck magic. I'm a really big believer in kind of being in control of our own luck and destiny, and when things are going poorly, that we can kind of shift the odds in our favor.
100%.
Very much so. Like you said, it's not perfect. But like, when we think about it, what spell is perfect? Like, if you have a witch telling you that all their spell work is constantly correct and perfect and exactly the way that they anticipated it to be, they are lying to you. I wish that was the way it was. But I think even people that have been doing this for decades and decades will, if they're being honest, will tell you that it's all trial and error. It's all something that we kind of work on and work towards. And sometimes we do something, it doesn't quite go the way we anticipated. Mm-hmm. And we have to do it again or adjust, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think that luck magic is the best. I am a big fan of road openers. I'm a really big fan of uncrossings, et cetera, et cetera. Just... oh, gosh. So that being said... distinguishing between bad luck, just plain old bad luck, versus the evil eye, malicious magic being thrown your way, etc., etc. What would you advise somebody on that?
Okay, I know that we have talked about this on a previous episode. I think it was like the hexing thing. I think it's important to know, like with bad luck, we all have ebbs and flows. Just because you're an ebb right now does not mean that you have the evil eye cast upon you or anything. We all ebb and flow. That's just a natural course of things. Like, we all go through down points. Yes. And we all go through high points. But I do think you can tell the difference when ridiculous things start happening. Like, ridiculous things. Stupid
like
things.
Like how your headphones stop working and also your camera won't connect. And also you restart your computer 5 times and you're just like, what if I just laid down and gave up?
Yeah.
Just an idea.
It's just ridiculous things that are usually in the same realm as each other, like Robin just described. Obviously, that is all technology. I mean, could it be an ebb with technology? Of course. Maybe. It could. But if it continues day after day, even though it would, you know, this computer works perfectly for her husband.
Time that we need to go to record, some might say. Some might suggest.
weeks. But yeah, I do think going over the mundane reasons first and then getting into the why is important. Obviously, if it's mundane, then that's a perfect time to do a bad luck reversal spell or to do a luck spell. And then I do think that people confuse the evil eye, as I've mentioned just not too long ago, with personal blockages. Like, you're literally the problem. You're giving yourself the evil eye. You know, you're not really taking accountability for yourself, and it's causing bad luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is difficult. You? Like, the thing is that, especially as witches, I think that's a really, really difficult concept for all of us to come to terms with. I know that especially in the first, like, probably decade of me doing magic, I would be like, it couldn't be something I'm doing. Someone must be doing this to me. And like I am very guilty of that. I'm still guilty of that sometimes. So I really want to emphasize that, like, you're not stupid if this is your go-to, because my ass does it all the time. Confronting the fact that I might be the cause of my own problems, absolutely not. I am literally perfect.
Yeah, that's why for me, really, though, a reflective practice before you do a spell is so important. Either tarot and journaling and constructing what's going on. But anyways, go ahead.
I think that if you are going to distinguish between plain old bad luck and something being thrown your direction, there's a few things that you should do. The first one, tarot reading on it or some sort of divination. But you need to do it in honest. If you are going to be biased towards your own reading, where you're not going to want to hear that perhaps it's you, have a friend do it. Pay someone. Whatever you need that's an outside source that you think will actually be honest with you, get a reading done from them. We're all witches. Most of us also have witch friends, and that we can trust and be like, I need you to be really honest with me and do this for me. In most cases, you'll probably find that someone will give you that honest feedback. And it not being something that you have to pay for. If you don't have anybody in your life, find a tarot reader that you trust, that will give you honest feedback. So, first of all. Secondly, like Maria said, let's rule out the mundane. So, like, using the example that we just gave, where everything has been going wrong for me every single time I try to put on the stinking camera, I got a different camera, and guess what? It's working just fine. So it's the camera that's the issue, not my luck. So we've ruled that out. So just diagnosing between mundane and magical, just like right off the bat, I think is really, really important. And I think that if all comes down to it, if it is something like the evil eye put on you, for example, do a cleanse. Just do a simple cleanse. Even if you aren't doing a full-blown, like evil eye removal, bad luck reversal, etc., a simple cleanse, things should improve at least slightly. And there's your answer. That we need to take this to, like, a more serious level. So that would be my ways of distinguishing.
Confirmation bias is really, really real.
It really is. And you're not, like, an idiot or a bad witch for looking for confirmation bias at all. Like, especially when we deal with spiritual topics, this is something we all fall into the trap of, even sometimes, even if it's not every time. It's just because you're a human. That's the nature of being a human being.
100%. So, if you do have bad luck, how do you break it? Like, what are your go-tos for breaking bad luck?
I'm a big black cat user. Black cat reversals. I'm a huge black cat reversal connoisseur, if you will. I like black cat oil. I have a trusted, like, person that I get it from. I do not make it myself. It is somebody that I have been using since I was a younger woman. I get it off eBay. I will link them in the bio. You can find it there. But I'm a really big black cat like reversal user. I use, as we all know, I'm a 7-day candle lover. So I use 7-day candles for it. I use black cat oil, or I get those candles that are shaped like a black cat.
I love those.
They're me really too. And
one,
especially pairing that with a road opener, which we'll get into in a minute, road openers. For me, it works every time. It works 100% of the time. It really just, it does. Like, if it ain't broke, why fix it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. I love them. I think that black cat candles and oils are just always going to be top tier, unmatched, especially if you are getting your oils from or making it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to make it, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I do. I always source it from external.
Because it does have a lot of weird ingredients too.
It not
worth
really
like spending
does.
A ton of money on for something that's going to go bad within a year. So it makes sense.
Yeah. I prefer it. I prefer getting it elsewhere. What about you?
So, for me, it 100% depends on the bad luck I'm experiencing. I really try to tailor my spells to what is happening, but my typical go-to is to perform a banishing spell first for the bad luck, and that is writing out in like great detail like all the bad luck that has been happening to me and what I've been experiencing and how it's not like serving me and how it's getting in my way and stuff like that, and then just literally lighting it on fire and burning it in my cauldron. But then I take the ashes of that paper and I put it like in a spell jar, and I put like a bunch of like luck herbs to go on top of the ashes.
That's kind really
of,
clever.
Like, build, thank you. To build like luck from the bad luck and kind of like show me the way, the path forward that would, you know, keep good luck coming my way. And I do think our altars are great, like, portals for energy and for our intentions. So I like to put, like, let's say the Wheel of Fortune on the card, on the altar upright, signifying that, you know, my luck is changing. I'm no longer at the bottom of the wheel. This ebb is going to end, and now I'm going to be at the top of the wheel. Like, I set it on the altar with that intention in mind, with a purpose. And then, as I've mentioned repeatedly, because sometimes our bad luck is self-inflicted, but that doesn't mean that we can't do spell work to help us get us through that. And I think like doing shadow work and deconstructing, like using tarot, as we mentioned, to kind of like point our path forward to kind of get rid of our own self-imposed bad luck is important. And doing like growth spells, cleansing spells to help alleviate the stuff that we have going on so we can, you know, move forward in a way that will give us better luck. But did that make sense?
It does. I will say, did I say what the shop is that I've always bought from, or did I just say I was going to put it in the bio?
You just said eBay.
Oh, it's Ma Marie. That's who it is. I just got, like, I want to make sure I say that. It's Ma Marie. She's on eBay. I've used her since eBay was relevant. So. But I will link it in the bio. Just got so caught up talking about stuff, I didn't actually say it. So moving on, road openers. I think road openers are a super effective tool for when you are doing really any spell, but especially luck spells. Mm-hmm. What are your opinions on road openers?
I actually view road openers a little differently.
Okay.
Some other people.
She's not like other girls.
Because I work with a lot of crossroads deities. So like I use road openers to kind of show me the correct way forward, which can show, you know, like going the correct path forward for like luck and stuff like that. But I also, I typically do road openers when I need a path forward, when my bad luck is self-imposed, when I'm the problem. so I can find the correct path forward. Or even like if I'm dealing with like a really tough decision of what, how I need to move forward and stuff like that. Yeah. And I don't want like the bad luck from the past to follow me on my path forward. I would do a road runner in that case. Hope that makes sense. People are probably...
I think it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. But how about for you? How do you use
road openers for me are the bad luck reversal before any spell work. So like any blockages, any bad luck I have, etc., that I want out of my way, I add something for a road opener to spell work. So even if I'm not going to do like a full road opener spell, and instead I just want to like make sure that my spell is successful, I always add a road opener to it, if that makes sense. And in my case, I usually add an herb called Abre Camino to my spell work. It is a specific road opener herb. There are plenty of other like blends people make and things that they consider for road openers. That's always been my go-to. Yeah, and I just add that to like anything I'm doing that is like I need the paths opened up for. And if I'm creating any kind of like bad luck or whatever, I use that as like a way to kind of clear that, to clear the road a little bit.
Yeah. 100%. And like, I do want to mention about like being on the right path. I do feel like that if you're not on the right path, the more bad luck that you will have, because like, you know, the universe is trying to throw you on the right track and stuff like that.
Totally.
So maybe doing a road opener with the intention to be like, please show me the freaking right path, because apparently I'm on the wrong one.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth, girl? Now that being said, before we close this segment, if you were going to give people just like some general correspondence for bad luck reversal, what would you recommend to people?
Honestly, my biggest thing is personal talismans. Just like, you know, people have like random things that they're like, oh, this brings me luck. You know, it's like the whole, you know, football players wearing the same underwear or the same socks each time they play the game. Like, that's their personal talisman. And personal talismans can be anything. It doesn't have to even have like luck symbolism on it or anything. It's just something you wear repeatedly because that correspondence is there for you. Each time that you wear this, something good happens. And so you get in the habit of wearing it, and each time you wear it, something good happens. You kind of keep imbuing it with that energy. And then plant wise, I really like star anise for luck. You know, it's like, you know, the whole like star card, making your dreams come true, like having a wish come true, having a little luck thrown your way. And then I really like honey, just attracting like good things, attracting, you know, happiness and sweetness instead of the sour. And you can also do, if you can gather responsibly, pollen. Pollen's also very good for that as well.
Responsibly. Please come to my house in the spring and you can just go like this off my car into any jar or container that you have.
Yeah, ours was really bad a couple of years ago. I'm so mad at myself for not gathering some. We literally could not go outside because our lungs felt so heavy. It was disgusting. But anyways, I digress. Okay. And then I did mention it earlier, but I really like the Wheel of Fortune card, and I use it all the time in luck magic spells, just as something on the side for like a little bit of extra help, a little extra oomph for its symbolism and things of that nature. And last and final thing, I think our guides and our spirits that we work with are great avenues to work with when it comes to luck spells, because they do want good things for us, and just kind of like being like, hey, can you help me out here? Can you point me in the right direction? And, you know, just kind of working them with them with in that manner, I find very fulfilling and helpful. But how about for you? What are you?
I mean, I think some of mine are really obvious. I've already talked about the black cat thing, and just cats in general. Mm-hmm. Iron horseshoes, not the stupid, crappy home decor ones that they sell that are probably made of like tin, but like proper iron horseshoes, especially ones that have been used. Mm-hmm. And like discarded, if you will. Mm-hmm. You can find those lots of places. I'm pretty sure we gave some out for a box once.
Yes, we did.
Those I really like. I've talked about Aubrey Camino. I really like Star Anise, just like you said. I also mm-hmm. really like clover, which I know maybe feels like, oh, well, four leaf clovers, but I'm not talking about the green part of the plant. I'm talking about like the little buds, mm-hmm. Specifically white clover mm-hmm. buds. I really like for luck, and motherwort. Motherwort is such a healing herb, but it also gives us like opportunity. Mm-hmm. And comfrey is my last option for that thing I like. Comfrey is mm-hmm. usually associated with safety. And for me, luck, having good fortune is a aspect of safety.
100%.
There is safety in our luck. And mm-hmm. so I would pair comfrey with something else, like mm-hmm. clove, like clover, star anise, etc. Mm-hmm. But using it kind of as a catalyst herb to go with whatever else I'm using in the blend, I think is really good.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Agree.
Thanks. But, so smart. Yeah.
Now I kind of want to do luck spells. I think March is like perfect for luck spells because like the energy's already there because of, you know, St. Patrick's.
Well, and we also general shift. We have this general mm-hmm. shift of like, if you live in an area with a time zone change, like the clocks spring forward, right? You have that. You've got things like spring starting. And so we have this season shift. And if things are shifting in general, we should be shifting our luck with it. And I just think mm-hmm. It actually, in my opinion, has fuck all to do with St. Patrick's Day.
Oh no, I just meant like for like the general thing, like for people.
Yeah, but
like
I think that people associate there. March and luck with St. Patrick's Day, and I don't even think about St. Patrick's Day. You just have this.
Oh, it's definitely not. It's just that the societal energy shift is there. You know,
yeah.
Like working with other people's energy for your own benefit. I don't do that. Anyways.
She does.
If the correspondence is there for other people, it's there for me to work with and to harness. Like when I go to a cafe and everyone's in their like, you know, studying mode and stuff like that, I'm going to use that energy for myself and go in my own studying mode with purpose and intention.
I like it.
Thanks.
What is stirring your cauldron this week?
I cannot deal with you. Thank you so much for asking.
I just want a late night, like, radio show. Like,
you should. You should do one. Like, that would be really good.
Just play some, you know, sensual tunes all night.
Yeah.
Like, hello, this is your sex radio station.
I love that. Please do that. The people demand it.
Ritual station, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's what the people are demanding. They're screaming from the rooftops for it.
Wouldn't it be cool though if you could do that, like on Saturdays?
Why couldn't you do that?
I don't, because I don't have the time.
You've got the time.
I don't have the time.
You've got the time, and the people want it. Anyway, what is stirring my cauldron right now is garbage bouquets. Listen, like 8 years ago, somebody else, and I don't remember who it is, so if you guys know who maybe started this idea, let me know, because I'd like to credit them. But like 8 years ago, another content creator brought forth this idea of garbage bouquets, and I've always kind of kept it in my back pocket, and this is the time of year that garbage bouquets are like the most abundant. And that is... it's Valentine's. It is like the post-Valentine's mistress hour. Okay, listen, I'm not here to judge people on their relationships, but you get these bouquets, or flower shops get this abundance of flowers specific for that time of year, mm-hmm. and then they throw them out after a day. Grocery stores do this as well. As soon as it's February 15th, baby, they throw them out. And you'll see all the way until summer that if you were to happen upon a garbage can that a grocery store perhaps has, they are going to have so many bouquets in them. And why shouldn't you repurpose those bouquets that never stood a fighting chance as an offering? So many. I've got a bunch of roses right now on my altar. Like, literally 2 dozen roses. But yeah, they're not perfect. There's a little bit of a wilt on the edges, but they also are... there's nothing wrong with them. I love it. I think it's freaking genius, because these flowers are basically just cut to be thrown in the trash and never appreciated. And I think that it's nice to give them a repurpose, as long as, of course, there's not, like, food and stuff on them. Like... let's keep our dumpster diving sanitary for the most part. But keep your eye out. A lot of people, they get sent flowers after Valentine's Day, and they're like, I don't want this, Joe Smith. We broke up. Into the trash it goes. Well, you know, I'm trying to keep it...
I know.
Like, nondescript. I don't want this, guy. I broke up with you. Those are now offering flowers. I think they're great. I think this is the great time of the year for them. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
That just makes me so mad at surge pricing and inflation right now. You have so many of these that you did not sell. Maybe you're pricing them too high. Maybe it's worth it to make a little bit more extra money by pricing them responsibly. And I don't know. It's so wasteful.
No, I completely agree with you. I literally do. I think it's wasteful, and I think that especially when we are in a position of kind of being servants to the earth, these are things that were grown with the purpose of someone enjoying, and they're just being discarded and wasted, and that makes me really sad.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad.
Turn into
not stirring your cauldron this week.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you. Oh no. Will we ever not laugh at this section? I don't know. Probably
not. No, because we are looking at ourselves doing this, and everybody else just listens to our annoying voices about it. Meanwhile, we're like making intense eye contact.
We just keep making it weirder and weirder for our YouTube people. Anyways.
Lynn.
Yeah. But, okay. So, my thing that's not stirring my cauldron is... okay. It's a very, very good to be anti-consumerist. Like, you know, to not over-consume things and be wasteful, as we were talking about in the first section.
Yes.
But, there's like this whole movement going on about people being like, I am so sick of seeing small businesses post. I'm so sick of having products thrown my way. I'm sick of other people talking about different products that they love and stuff like that. And when the products these people are talking about are small businesses, and in this context, like witchy small businesses, witchy artists, like people that need the money that aren't connected to big business. But I also do think that also involves also needing to support artists that like do go with major publishers and stuff like that to get their tarot decks out, to get their oracle decks out,
totally,
to get their books out and stuff like that. I think it's so important to support the artists, to support the writers, to support the makers of things, rather than being like, oh, this is so consumerist, like consumerist, you know, stuff. I think people get really confused that you don't have to buy these things. Like, you could say no. You could be like,
you can support people.
I can't afford this right now.
By liking, commenting, sharing, and still not be purchasing anything.
Yeah, I just think people get caught up in wanting something and then they get mad that they can't afford it at this time, which is, you know, it sucks. Like, especially right now, the economy does suck. But that is not the person's fault who it has made this product, who has put out this stuff for other people. Like, that is not their fault. Not their fault at all. Right. This is like our crappy government. This is the crappy world that we live in right now. This is not these people's fault that are making something and trying to earn their own income and living. And
I also think, like, bouncing off what you're saying, that people have really, really valid points by talking about, like, over-consumerism, right? But we need to remember that small businesses are not Amazon. They are not Alibaba or Wish or DHgate or anything like that. These are like people that are in most cases barely making enough money to break even when they're selling their products, even when it costs more money. You know, you'll have yarn makers that will make a blanket and let's say it's $200. And that took them 15 hours to make. And they're, you know, they're charging $200. And it's like, well, the yarn alone was 120 of that. Like,
yeah. I think people
so when you break down these things, they're really not making any money.
Well, I think people forget that, you know, prior to like the industrial age and stuff like that, things were pretty expensive to get because they were handmade. They were created, like, you know, by people, and but they would last forever. Like, a pair of jeans would last you your whole entire life, instead of like the maybe 2 months that you wear them now, and now they have holes and stuff like that. And most small, you know, small businesses, witchy small businesses, make things that do last. Like, that will last you a long time, that are made to last, and you're kind of paying the price for something that will last. But
all small businesses, if we're being honest, like, all small businesses are doing that for the most part, not just witchy ones. And I think that we need to just, like, not to make your not stirring my segment, but we do need to give people more grace and also learn that it really sucks that we can't buy something because we want it. But that doesn't mean that they need to lower their price to fit our budgets.
100%. Yep. I mean, it sucks wanting something and then you're like, well, shit, I can't afford that. That happens to me at least once a day.
Literally.
But we
this,
do have
this
to remember.
This bitch is constantly sending me shit that I'm like, I want that. That is $400. She's taking
look
me down
it.
With her.
Just look at it. But no, like,
evil.
We need to realize sometimes the stuff that's happening is an us problem and not a them problem. And that supporting witchy, like, small businesses or small businesses in general is what we need to fight consumerism and stuff like
100%.
That. 100%. But yeah, that's just, that's what's not serving my culture. Because I see so many people complain about, like, people sharing other people's products, especially small businesses that need the
boost.
Viewership. Need the boost. And I think a lot of people have this misconception that, like, let's say Robin and I get sent something. Well, like, 99% of the time, we're not getting paid. We're sharing it because we legitimately
love it. I've been paid, legit, like, full transparency, out of the 7.5 years that I've been doing this, I've been paid twice. Ever.
Yeah.
And one of them was a vibrator thing, and the other one was a video game thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's not happening. And there's things that I don't share, that I do get sent, that I don't share because it, one, either it doesn't resonate with me and I just, I would never post it because it's not me. Or like, or it was like, has something super problematic in it that I'm like, no. Mm-mm. I even wrote write Robin about all the time, like, I'm not sharing this. This is problematic as hell. Like, it's not happening. Yeah. Like,
I think that there's a really big misconception that when things get shared of any nature, that people are getting paid all this money, and that's just not the case. Like, it's just not. Like,
no, it's not.
Even like, I mean, if we're going off full transparency here, posting on Instagram, we don't get paid for, and if we do, it is like pennies. Like, literally, not like a, oh, I'm exaggerating pennies. Like, I know another creator who has had multiple videos have like hundreds of thousands of views in 1 month, and the payout total was $1.63. So like, that's millions of views in a month and they're getting a dollar. Like, so just support small businesses, like, and don't hate people who are supporting small businesses. They're not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
In most cases. I mean, at least I'm speaking from our perspective. But
agree.
If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. These are anybody from artists, books, other podcasts, just whatever that Maria and I organically find. These are not ads. These are just things we thought you might like. We also have a third option, which is the listener submitted choice that we started doing last season, which is pretty fun. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
I just want to say that you picked the creator that I've shared before, and it's funny.
Have we shared them before?
Oh, I did, but you're more than welcome to love them this episode.
Because, like, I am obsessed right now. Okay. You finish. Sorry. You tell them who you're loving.
So I am loving a specific post, and it's from Pip Cards Tarot on Instagram, and she put a sustainable self-care questions to ask your deck. And I just, I really appreciate all of the questions because, you know, sometimes we want to approach tarot and we don't know how to ask certain things, especially when it comes to taking care of ourselves. And, you know, or if you just want to use tarot and you're like, what should I ask? I think going the self-care route is always like a smart idea. And just like the questions that she has came up for, like, what do I appreciate in this moment? What hard feelings do I need to hold space for? What feeling do I need to express? Where can I cut myself some slack? Like, things like that. I don't know.
Right.
Very good questions. And I really like that post. But anyway.
I just heard my kid barking like a dog outside.
I didn't hear it, but that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. They think they're a dog right now. It's very funny. Or a horse. Anyway. My choice this week is Bewitched Oddities, which apparently Maria's already done before, but I'm freaking obsessed right now. They're all over my threads.
Talented.
And I'm just like, yep, yep, want that. I would like to have that. It's all these like bubble mirror frames or orbs, etc., where they're putting bones, moths, butterflies, etc. The one that like absolutely killed me was an orb spider web that was preserved with like oranges and a moth on top of it, and oh my god, it took me out. It was so beautiful. So beautiful. They just really have an eye for aesthetics, and I'm obsessed.
They do, and they like, they take care of their own butterflies and moths.
So cool. So you can really see that they've like lived their life as a butterfly or a moth, and it's just really, really stunning.
It is.
Do you want to tell them who our listener choice is?
Sure. I can speak.
Sir.
Okay. Sir. It is Three Trees Tarot with underscores in between the words. And I am totally not looking this up right now.
No. So Three Trees Tarot is a really cute tarot deck creator that somebody sent us. But specifically, they do these illustrations of like... almost like cottage quarry, like
I want them so bad. She knows.
They're really, really cute. The person who sent it to us has actually they don't have their account anymore, so it just says Instagram user, so sorry. But the these are stunning. They have these really, the really cute one that has like deer, including like a little Bambi-like deer, and I'm just obsessed. I think they're very cute.
Yeah, my favorite one is there's like a hedgehog tarot card. It's really, it's so cute. It's so, I want it.
It's really, really cute. Ugh, I love them. And if you are somebody who has found something that you think is super cool and you would like to share with us, please send it to us on Instagram or email us. We would love to see your stuff.
Yeah, give me some birthday gift ideas, guys. My birthday's coming up. My wife is asking for ideas.
I've already picked out your birthday gift. I stumbled upon it and I was like, I'm getting her that. And then after I get it for her, we're going to talk about it on here.
Should I be after scared?
You're not going to be scared, but I want to like share the shop, but I don't want you to know what it is. So like,
okay.
I'm going to share it after you've received it.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope that we will see you again on Friday, March 15th for our next Coffee Talk episode, or March 22nd for the 5th episode of Season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us on Patreon March 31st for our class with Paula Victoria, which is going to be on palmistry basics. This will be at 2 p.m. Eastern time for everyone in the library tier and up, or you can head to Eventbrite for just purchasing that one-off class.
And additionally, we want to mention our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, that offers a special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, like so many events. Like we have a, you know, a spell of the month, a book club, a meditation, and now a crafting circle, apparently.
So many things. Everybody loved the thing from the ritual. They requested it, and I provide what they request.
And we have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are listening in from, whether that's Apple, Spotify, or something else. And additionally, if you are watching this on YouTube, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, leave a comment. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We love reading your reviews and simultaneously rating us at all, whether that's 5 stars or less. It helps us to be seen. So we would really appreciate it if you could take that 5 seconds to give us a rating, even if you don't want to write a full review.
Thank you for everybody who already has,
and everybody who's going to. We really appreciate you.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere,
and I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
Are you ready?
Yep.
One, two, three. Bye, witches. We are a mess for that.
Yeah, we are.